sit up beautifully like a Buddha. Breathing in, I feel alive. Do you think that the sound is good enough? Not good enough. It's okay. Everyone here? Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. There will be no translation? Only English, huh?
But Chinese translation is downstairs.
Okay. When the Buddha was young, as a little boy, his name is Siddhartha. He was not lucky because his mother died 7 days after he was born. I have more luck, and many of you are luckier than him. We have to remember that. And many years after he became a Buddha, he tried to find out where his mother was in order for him to go and visit. To have a mother still alive is a wonderful thing. Mother's Day is today, when? So if you still have a mother alive, you have to celebrate. You have to go to her. You breathe in deeply. You look at her in the eyes. And you say, Mother, I know you are still alive with me. I am so happy. And you bow. Remember to do that today, huh? And those of us whose mother are no longer there, there is another way to practice. Because the body of our mother is not sin, but our mother is still alive somewhere, somehow, in every cell of our body. Scientifically, our mother is still alive in every cell of our body. And she continues in us. And if we know how to continue beautifully and happily, she will be beautiful and happy. It's possible to make us, our mother, beautiful and happy if we know how to practice. You sit down, you breathe in mindfully, you become aware of your body, and you say, Mommy, I know you are there in every cell of my body. You were young, you were beautiful, you were loving. And now I want to be like that. I want to be young, I want to be lovely, I want to be beautiful. And I learned the practice, the Buddha's teaching, in order to remain young, to remain joyful and happy, so that our mother can continue to be young and happy in us. This is always possible. So tonight, before going to sleep, you sit up like this, and you breathe in mindfully, and you say, Mother, I know you are still alive in me, in every cell of my body. And if I know how to live beautifully, happily, and you be beautiful and happy, you continue always. That is the teaching of the Buddha. The mother of the Buddha, her name is Mahamaya. Maya is a kind of dream. She's so beautiful. Beautiful like a dream. Great dream. And the day when she conceived the Buddha is very happy day. She, in her dream, she saw a white elephant, a beautiful white elephant, holding a lotus flower in his trunk, and touch the body of Mahamaya with that flower, lotus flower. And slowly, the white elephant penetrate into the body of Mahamaya, and the lady became pregnant of the Buddha. And so she felt so happy, so light, so wonderful, with the Buddha inside. She had a lot of joy, a lot of freedom, a lot of happiness. How do I know that? Because I read it in a sutra called Hua Yin, Avatamsaka Sutra. The story is long, but I wish that everyone will listen to it. The Bodhisattva Manjushri Vantu has a very young disciple. He's about 11 years old. You know the Bodhisattva Manjushri? He's very intelligent. He's a man of great learning. He knows everything. He's a scientist. He's a philosopher. He is a practitioner. He knows how to cut through all his sorrow and fear and anger. So he's very free, Manjushri Bodhisattva. He has so many disciples. And among them, the young boy called Sudana. Sudana is about 10 or 11. I myself have many young disciples. Some are 5, 6, 7. Brother Pháp Hữu. Pháp Hữu sit here. He came to Plum Village when he was 6 or 7 years old. And he wanted to become a monk, too young to become a monk. So he had to wait until he was 13, and he was allowed to become a monk, a novice monk. Now he is 23. He has practiced more than 10 years. And you know something? He has become a Dharma teacher. Very young Dharma teacher. He's a very happy young monk. He's a kind of Sudana. And I have many disciples who begin as baby monks and baby nuns. Some of you might like to become my baby monks, my baby nuns, become a Dharma teacher like that. Bodhisattva Manjushri tell Sudana, "My darling, my disciple, I am your teacher. But in the world, there are many wonderful teachers also. So I'd like you to meet these wonderful teachers. There are teachers who are very young. And you might like to go and learn from these teachers. Teachers who are Buddhist and teachers who are not Buddhist. And you can learn from them." So Sudana had a chance to go and learn from how many teachers? 53 teachers. Thiền tài đồng tử Sudana. He had the opportunity to meet with many wonderful teachers, many not Buddhist and many Buddhist. And one of his teacher is, guess who? Lady Mahamaya, the mother of the Buddha. I studied the Avatamsaka Sutra and I learned this story. I want to tell you about this. One day, someone told Sudana that he should go and meet the mother of the Buddha, and he can learn from her a lot. And Sudana did not know how to find Lady Mahamaya, the mother of the Buddha. So someone said that, well, you don't have to travel. If you have good concentration, and then you can see Mahamaya in the here and the now. If you have good mindfulness and concentration, and you see Mahamaya in the here and the now, you should sit down and concentrate on your in-breath and out-breath. And if you do well, you have a chance to meet the lady who is the mother of the Buddha. And Sudana sat down and he paid attention to his breathing in and out. And suddenly he saw springing from the earth a lotus flower with 1,000 petals. He see in his concentration a beautiful lotus flower coming from the ground in front of him, and 1,000 petals. And suddenly he saw himself sitting on of these petals. He's not sitting on a cushion anymore. He's sitting on a petal of the lotus flowers. So happy to be sitting on a lotus flower like a Buddha. And when you are still very young, just 10 or 11, maybe 10 and a half. Who is 10 now? Listen, you can do like him. And Sudana was amazed to see that he is sitting on one of the petals of the lotus flower. And when he looked up, he saw, guess who? Lady Mahamaya, the mother of the Buddha, sitting on another petal of the lotus flower. This story is a wonderful story that you can read in the Avatamsaka Sutra, Huayin. This sutra has been translated from Chinese into English. You can read in English also. And Sudhana was so happy. The person he had been looking for, you know, to learn from, is sitting right in front of him. So he bowed to Lady Mahamaya and expressed his happiness that he has this opportunity to meet the mother of the Buddha in order to learn from her. Because people told him that you can learn a lot from the mother of the Buddha. And then he asked a few questions. Lady Mahamaya said, "Young man, I will tell you a few things. The moment when I see Siddhartha, I was so happy. It's wonderful to have a Buddha inside of you. I had the impression that no one on earth was as happy as I was the moment when I conceived the baby Buddha. And just a few hours later, there are so many Bodhisattvas coming from many directions. They are all friends of the Buddha. Because during his time of being a Bodhisattva, he made friends with so many people in the Sangha. So hundreds of thousands of friends of the Buddha in the forms of Bodhisattva are coming and inquire about their friends, Siddhartha. And they know that the lady Mahamaya is pregnant of Siddhartha inside. So they wanted to find out whether Siddhartha is comfortable inside of. They want to go in. They wanted to go into the womb of Lady Mahamaya to see whether their friend Siddhartha is comfortable enough inside, whether it's too cold or too hot, and so on. Young man, they asked me whether they have the permission to enter my body to find out whether their friend is comfortable or not. And before I say yes, they just enter. And young man, do you know something? It's enough space of them inside of me. There are thousands of Bodhisattvas penetrate into my womb, what Lady Mahamaya said. You know, that is the truth. Because when you are a happy person, you have a lot of space inside. Any person who is happy has a lot of space inside. If you are not happy, there's only anger and fear and jealousy in you. There's no space. But you are happy, if you are happy, you have a lot of space. It's like the moon traveling in the sky. Around the moon, there's a lot of space. That is why the moon is so beautiful. Moon's so happy. So if you want to be happy, put a lot of space inside of you and around you. And if you want your beloved one to be happy, offer her space. Not money. Space inside of her and around her. That is the most wonderful thing to offer to someone you love. Darling, I would like to offer you space, freedom. Freedom from anger, freedom from jealousy, freedom from fear. And Lady Mahamaya had a lot of freedom inside. Young man, do you know? I am the mother of all Buddhas in the past. I am the mother of all Buddhas in the present. And I will be the mother of all Buddhas in the future. That is what she said in the Avatamsaka Sutra. And during that conversation, Sudhana learned a lot from the mother of the Buddha. And all that conversation is recorded in the sutra. You can read. You can go to the internet and you can read that sutra. Later on, when you grow up to be a mother or a father, because Siddhartha had a mother and had a father also. You may have the happiness of having a Buddha inside of you. And the day the doctor tells you that you are pregnant, you can be as happy as Lady Mahamaya. And if you know that you are pregnant, and or your wife is pregnant, you have to practice in order to offer him or her inside of you a lot of space. If you are the father, the young father who learned that your wife is going to have a baby, you have to change your way of living. You have to walk more slowly. You have to breathe more deeply. You have to enjoy the fact that you are going to have a child. You are going to become a father. And if you are the mother, you have to practice also. You have to walk gently. You have to breathe deeply. You have to smile often, because all of that will have an effect on the child within. You don't want your child inside of you to suffer. That's why you would like to bring a lot of space into you. And when you breathe deeply and enjoy your in-breath, you offer your child inside a lot of space. And you walk slowly, enjoying every step you make. You offer your child inside of you a lot of space. And when you eat, be sure not to eat the things that make your child suffer. And when you drink, make sure to drink only the thing that does not make your child inside suffer. No alcohol, not too much Coca-Cola. And you know how, what to eat, what to drink, and how to live your life so that the child in you does not have to suffer. And as you are the future father, you have to treat your wife gently. Because if you are gentle to her, you are gentle to your child in her. When you watch television, you don't watch the kind of movies that can make your child inside afraid. There's a lot of violence and anger and craving and fear on television. And if you watch these programs, your child inside will get the bad kind of food. And that is why, as a future mother, you have to learn how to practice. You can learn a lot from Lady Mahamaya. You know that you had been in the womb of your mother at least 9 months. And during the time you stay there, it's very comfortable. It's not too hot in there. It's not too cold. The place you stay is called, in Chinese, in Vietnamese, the palace of the child. Tự cung, it means the palace of the child. And you did not have to worry about anything. You did not have to worry about having something to eat, to drink, because your mother did everything for you. She ate for you. She drank for you. She breathed for you. You need oxygen. She was breathing. And you are linked to your mother by a cord called umbilical cord. And the air, oxygen, come to you through that cord. And the food, the nutriment come to you. I have a niece who is also a Dharma teacher. She was ordained as a member of the order of intervening at the age of 16, I think. When she knew that she was pregnant for her first child, she began to practice reciting the Lotus Sutra every day. She practiced walking meditation, sitting meditation, eat lightly, and recite the Lotus Sutra. And she wanted to nourish her child with the beautiful teaching and images found in the Lotus Sutra. And she was very careful, tried to be very careful in her way of moving around, so that she would not make her child inside of her suffer. That is the practice of mindfulness. Mindfulness helps you to be gentle, to be light, to be free, to be happy, to be joyful. And these are very important kind of food that you need to offer to the child inside. And when you are born, they had to cut that umbilical cord. And now you have to be on your own. She cannot breathe for you anymore. She cannot eat for you anymore. You have to learn how to breathe in, to breathe out. You have to learn how to eat and to drink. It's difficult, but you have managed to do that. Today we celebrate the birthday of the Buddha, and we have a chance to meditate, to remind ourselves of these kind of things. After this Dharma talk, you will go out and help decorate the altar of the Buddha outside. We need you to help. You put your final touch on the Buddha altars. And when we finish our Dharma talk, we'll come back here to to offer a ceremony, and we go down in walking meditation in order to bathe the Buddha. Don't forget the practice recommended today. Try to find time to go to your father, your mother. Breathe in mindfully to be sure that you are mindful, concentrated. And you look into the eyes of your mother and you say, "Mother, mother, you are Lady Mahamaya. I can become a Buddha. You may be a future mother of a Buddha. I'm so happy that you are still alive." And you bow to her. And you do the same thing with your father. This is our practice today. Not only for the young one, but the rest of us. So when you hear the small bell, you may stand up and bow to the Buddha and go out and help with the altar. The children, only the children. Stand up. Only children. Only children. Bow to Thầy. Turn around, turn around. To the Buddha, the Sangha, and go out. Thầy Pháp Lũ, you can go and take care of them. First class. We are the continuation of our mother and our father and our ancestors. We have no separate self. If we remove our father and our mother from us, if we remove our ancestors from us, there will be nothing left. And that is a very simple thing, very clear, but we very often forget. Our mother is always alive in us, and we can talk to her at any time. I very often talk to my mother in me. I talk to my father in me. One day during sitting meditation, I felt so happy because I felt very free. Sitting meditation in the hermitage, I felt very free. I did not have any desire. Very, very free. I'm so happy, and I talk to my father, Daddy, we have succeeded. Because in his lifetime, he tried to practice Buddhism also, but not, he was bound so many things. And I continue him, and as a monk, I had more chance, so I practice for him also. So that morning, I said, Daddy, we have succeeded. We are free. So not only I am free, but he is free, because he is in me. Few years ago, we practiced walking meditation in New Delhi. In the most beautiful boulevard of the capital. And we were able to, the Sangha was allowed to use that path to do walking meditation. 1,000 people were walking with us, including the mayor of the city. And invited my mother to walk with my feet. Mommy, it's wonderful to walk in New Delhi. Please enjoy walking with my feet. And mother and son was walking happily. And mother and father were walking happily. I invited also my teacher to walk with my feet. So it's very clear that your mother is always alive in you, and you can get in touch with her at any time. Your father also in you. You can get in touch with him at any time. Also your teacher. And the Buddha also. The Buddha is my teacher. And he is your teacher. And he is in you. Because you have received the teaching from him. Because transmission can be done genetically or spiritually. You can transmit yourself genetically, or you can transmit yourself in terms of spirituality, education. So I know that not only in every cell of my body there is my mother, the presence of my mother, my father, my ancestors, but the presence of my spiritual ancestors. I have many spiritual ancestors. Many of them are Indian, many of them are Chinese, many of them are Vietnamese. They are all in me, very alive. And I can get in touch with them. When you hold your hand like this, and you look deeply, you see that this hand is your hand, of course, but it is also the hand of your mother, the continuation of the hand of your mother. And you can say, Mother, I know they call it, everyone thinks that this is my hand, but I see, because I have mindfulness and concentration, I know that this hand is also yours. And this hand is the continuation of your hand. And that is the kind of insight that every one of us can get after a few minutes of meditation. And scientifically, it is true also. This is your hand, no one denied it. But this is the continuation of the hand of your mother and of your father. Your father is in this, your mother is in this hand. Remember when you were a baby, you had a fever. You suffered so much. And when your mother came and put her hand on your forefront, oh, so you feel so good. So when you grow up, your mother is no longer there, and you miss that kind of hand, very gentle, full of compassion, full of love. But if you remember that your hand is her hand, and then her hand is still available, and with that kind of insight, you slowly put your hand on your forehead. And there you are, the mother, the hand of your mother is on you. It is available, the hand of your mother. Why don't you try now? Yeah, this is the hand of my mother. wonderful. My mother is still alive. That is Buddhism. That is Buddhist meditation. You can see things that other people cannot see inside. And as the Buddha is in me, I have learned a lot from the Buddha. I have got a lot of insight from the Buddha. My happiness is due very much to the Buddha in me. If I can walk happily, sit happily, live happily, breathe happily, it's because the Buddha is in me. The Buddha is not on the outer. On the outer, the Buddha made of bronze or jade, not the true Buddha. The true Buddha is in you. So you have learned the Dharma from him. And in you there is the living Dharma, the living Buddha, not the stone Buddha, not the copper Buddha. So this hand is also the hand of the Buddha. This hand is capable of protecting life, of helping, saving living beings. This hand is capable of delivering the Dharma. This is the continuation of the Buddha's hand. This hand is the hand of the Buddha. And if you put it in here, the Buddha is touching you with his hand. The Buddha's hand is available also. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, and if you have received his teaching of love and sacrifice, Jesus is in you. And in your hand, there is the hand of Jesus. And Jesus is available. If you want him to touch you with his hand, it is possible in the here and the now. When you look at someone, you can look in that way. He is not a self, she is not a self. She represents the whole lineage, many generations. And all the wisdom, insight, happiness of all many generations of ancestors are in him. Is in him, in her. Also the suffering, the difficulties in many generations are still in him or in her. And if you look deeply, you can recognize that. You have not seen him, you have not seen her in his totality, in her totality. You might believe in, you might have lived with someone for 20 years, your partner. And you believe that you have already seen everything. That's not true. There are many things in him or in her that you have not seen, and even she has not seen. He has not seen himself. Maybe there are talents in him or in her that have no chance to manifest yet. These kind of talents that have been transmitted by several generations of ancestors are in him or in her. But if that talent has not manifested because he has not had any chance to do so, so you may be the person who help that talent in him or her to manifest, including the talent to love and to make people happy. The same is true with ourselves. We don't know enough about ourselves because our ancestors have transmitted to us so many things, including their talent, their experiences, their insight. And our ancestors have also transmitted to us suffering. And if we have the opportunity to encounter the Buddha Dharma, we would know how to help these talents, that happiness, that love to manifest for our own happiness and the happiness of people around us. If we know, if we have a chance to get in touch with the Buddha Dharma, and then we would know how to handle the suffering that has been transmitted to us by many ancestors. Yes, there are kind of suffering that we don't understand the roots. We don't know how that suffering has come into existence in us. That is because that suffering has been handed down from our ancestors. They have not been able to transform that. But now, if we have a chance to get in touch with the Dharma, we have a chance. If we can transform that suffering, we liberate us and we liberate our ancestors from that kind of suffering. Filial piety. That's the highest form of filial piety. You are very kind to your ancestors. You are very kind to your father and your mother if you know how to transform the suffering that has been handed down to you by them. You are best kind of daughter, you are best kind of son, because you know how to transform the suffering that has been there for a long time. So the Buddha Dharma help us in two ways. The first is to explore and help manifest the good things, to bring more happiness and freedom into our daily life. And on the other side is to handle the suffering and to transform it into joy and peace and love. Because according to the Buddha's teaching, suffering and happiness are both of an organic nature. Suffering can become happiness if you know how to do so. If you are a good gardener, you know how to transform the garbage into compost to nourish the vegetable and the flowers. As a good organic gardener, you don't throw away the garbage. You stop the garbage, you take care of the garbage, you transform it into compost that can nourish flowers and vegetables. Because both compost, both garbage and flowers, they are organic. It's like the lotus and the mud. Without the mud, the lotus cannot grow. Without the suffering, there cannot be any happiness. So we learn how to handle suffering in order to make happiness possible. and handling suffering, the Buddha is very skillful on that matter. He know to recognize suffering. He know to handle suffering. He know to transform, how to transform suffering. He doesn't have to run away from suffering. In fact, his teaching begins with recognizing suffering and look deeply into the nature of your suffering in order to understand. And that understand will show you that kind of understanding will show you how to handle that suffering and transform it into love, joy, and happiness. The way we handle the mud that can bring forth beautiful lotus flowers. A flower, if you don't know how to handle, it will turn to be a piece of garbage very soon. You have to learn how to handle your happiness, your flower. In the beginning, your love can be very beautiful. And you believe that without that love, you cannot survive. But if you don't know how to handle that love, that flower, it will turn into anger and hate after a few years. That has happened to many couples. In the beginning, we were very happy with our child. But as he grew up, difficulties began to arise. And both mother and child, father and son, do not know how to handle the difficulties. We have to learn from the Dharma. And the Dharma provides us with the practice that help us handle the difficulties in relationship between father and son, mother and daughter, husband and wife, partner and partner. So if love has turned into hate, we should not allow despair to take over. Because according to this teaching, you can transform hate into love again, back to love again. Because love and hate, they are both organic, like lotus and mud. With the practice of mindfulness of listening, mindfulness of speaking, with the capacity to recognize the suffering, to understand the suffering in us and in the other person, we should be able to restore communication and to bring about happiness again. And there are many practices that are easy to take up, like the practice of remembering and water the seed of happiness in us. We have seeds of suffering, but we also have seeds of happiness. This story happened in Paris. The husband telephoned home and said that he cannot go home because he has to go to New York for business. And the lady is used to that kind of thing. She used to be alone. Because when he is home, when he was home, she is not happy either. Because they don't talk to each other anymore. Both of them suffer. In the beginning, their love was wonderful. But because they did not know how to handle that love, that is why it has turned into that kind of suffering. they don't talk to each other, they don't communicate, and they don't feel pleasant to be with each other. So whether he is home or not home, it does not matter very much. So the lady was very alone. That morning it happened that while she was looking into her wardrobe, she saw a box where she stored the love letters that he used to write to her. At that time, they did not use a computer to write email. They still wrote love letters. And in my generation, we do like that. We always keep the love letters. There is a mark of a biscuit called Lu, L-U, very popular. And the lady like to put all these beautiful, fragrant letters in that box. And that morning, when she was looking at her wardrobe, she discovered the box of letters. It looks like had been a long time. It's like a former life. But she was curious. She took one of the letters out and she read. The tone of the letter is so beautiful, full of love. At that time, he only used that kind of loving language to her, like music. And he was very sincere. He was the prince of her life. She was standing and reading that letter. And reading the letter touched the seat of happiness in her. When they first fall in love with each other, they were so happy. And they were happy in the first few years of the wedding. So the seats of happiness are still there, although it has been covered up by many layers of suffering. But they are still there, the seat of memory of happiness. She felt pleasant reading the letter, because while reading the letter, the seeds of happiness in her are watered. It's like it has not been raining for a long time. Now there is some rain, and the sprout and the seed begin to sprout. It took the 5-10 minutes to read that letter. And many things come up again. Happiness was real. And she feel better in herself. In the beginning, that was only curiosity to see how it was. But after reading the first letter, she felt better. She suffered less. And we know that because some of the seeds of happiness have been watered by the letter. So she took the whole bunch of letters, put it on the table, and sit down and enjoy reading the second letter and the third. And she read all the more than 50 love letters like that. And there was a transformation taking place. She did not practice sitting meditation, walking meditation, or chanting the sutra. Just reading love letters. And when she finished all the letters, she became another person. She said she remembered that there was a time when happiness was real. And because they did not know how to handle the flower, that is why now the flower is no longer there. And she, the happiness of many years ago come home, and she suddenly found it possible to write him a letter, because in the old time, every time she got a letter like that, she wrote back another letter, and her language is also very sweet, very loving. So now, after having read 50 letters or more, she wanted to do like before, sit down and write him a letter with that kind of language. And it was amazing that she was able to write him a letter with that kind of language, because it has not been possible for her to speak to him with that language in the last many years. That is a true love letter. And she felt wonderful during the time she wrote that letter. And she folded it into four, she put it in an envelope, and she wrote in the envelope, "Darling." And she put it on his desk. And she feel much better. And the next day when he telephoned from New York, he wanted to say that he cannot go home right away, he has to stay a few more days. But her way to answer is different, because she had been able to write that letter in that kind of language. She said, "Darling, if you need to stay a few more days, please feel comfortable. I can wait." But her tone is quite different, just because she has read the letters, the love letters. And when he put down the telephone, he realized that there's something different in her. In her tone, she's very sweet when she answers the phone. So he arranged so that he can come home sooner. And of course, he could do that. And the moment when he arrived, she knew, but she kept quiet. He came up to his room, and he saw the letter, and he read the letter, and he stayed for a long time up there. He had a chance to water the seed of his own happiness, because in him, the seeds of happiness are still there also. He stayed many hours up there and remember the happiness they had in the beginning. Mindfulness is about the present moment. Your mind go back to the present moment and become mindfulness. You remember. Mindfulness is the energy that helps you to know what is happening in your body, in your feelings, and in the environment around you. And mindfulness put you in touch with the present moment. And in the present moment, the seat of happiness are buried down there. And there is a way in order to get in touch with the present moment. And when the seat of happiness manifests, happiness manifests. Because in Buddhist psychology, it's very clear that we have at least two layers in our consciousness, and down here, store consciousness, alaya. And up here is mind consciousness. And the seeds of happiness are buried here, down here. And cover up by many layers of suffering. So when you read the letter, it touches up the seat of happiness down here. And the seat of happiness come up here as a zone of energy. Down here, it is called a seat.
Chúng tử.
A seat, bija. And when you touch it, it has a chance to manifest here as a mental formation. Yang han, tâm han, citta samskara, a mental formation. You have a seat of joy here, and if you know how to touch the seat of joy down here, or if someone come and help touch the seat of joy here, and then the seat of joy become the energy of joy up here. And if there is a manifestation of joy up here, you are a happy person. You have a seat of happiness. You have a seat of forgiveness. You have a seat of compassion. You have a seat of love down here. And the practice is to allow the seed to be watered. Do anything to water the seed of love and happiness in you and in the other person. If the other person is not happy, because if the seeds of happiness in her or in him are isolated, cover up. So this practice is called the practice of water, of flower watering. Mind consciousness. So when you are in a relationship, you can learn this kind of practice. It's quite easy. And the transformation can be very quick. You come to him and you say, "Darling, I know you have many good things in you, many good seeds in you. You have a seed of loyalty, of forgiveness, of joy, of love in you. And I vow every day to help touch this beautiful seed in you. Because I know that if these beautiful seeds manifest up here, you are will be very happy, and I will profit from your happiness. Darling, I promise not to touch the negative seed in you, the seed of anger, jealousy, and so on. I have these seeds in myself also. If you touch the seed of jealousy, anger, fear in me, I'll be unhappy, and I may make you unhappy. So I make the commitment not to water the negative seed in you, and I make the commitment to water only the good seeds in you. And please do the same. Commit yourself to the same. You know that I have the seed of anger and jealousy and so on. And if you water this seed, I will be unhappy, and I risk to make you unhappy. So if you really love and care for me, refrain from watering these seeds. But darling, you know that I also have, like you, I have good seeds. I have the seed of love, compassion, joy, and happiness. And if you water them, I'll be a happy person. So that is the kind of commitment that you can make with each other as a couple, as father and son, mother and daughter, husband and wife. Because there are moments when we are happy, calm, we can sit down and discuss a strategy of practice. One day, that was also a Vesak day, the birthday of the Buddha in Plum Village. I was giving a talk about flower watering. You water only the flower, you don't water the garbage. And the practice is called selective watering. And I noticed that in the audience, it was a lady who cried from the beginning of the Dharma talk. And they live in, the couple live in Bordeaux, about 1 hour of drive to Plum Village. And after the Dharma talk, I went to him and I say, "You know something? Your flower needs some watering." Just one sentence. So after lunch together and Dharma discussion, he drove home. And during the time driving back to Bordeaux, he practiced watering the flower in her. And when they arrived in Bordeaux, the situation was completely different. She was blooming like a flower. And the children were amazed to see that. The fact is that the gentleman knew the practice, but he did not practice. He needs someone to remind him. He needs a teacher. He needs a brother in the Dharma, a sister in the Dharma. And if you practice alone, it might be more difficult. That is why we have to come together like this as a Sangha. In the Sangha, we have co-practitioners, Dharma brothers, Dharma sisters, become Kalyana Mitra for each other.
Thiền hữu tri thức. Mitra is a friend
in the practice. You need a teacher or a friend in the practice. In order to practice, to nourish the practice, you should have Kalyana Mitra, brothers, sisters, friends in the practice. And therefore you have to set up a Sangha. You have to come together like this as Sangha in order to succeed in your practice and maintain your practice alive. Many of us think of the Buddha as a father, as a teacher. But the Buddha described himself as a friend. In the Samyutta Nikaya, I remember the Buddha said something like this: "I want to be a friend of living beings so that they have a chance to get out of the suffering of birth and death. I want to be a friend to them. I want to be a Kalyana Mitra to all living beings." So we should learn to look at Buddha not only as a teacher, as a father, but as a friend. He wanted to be our friend in order to take our hand and help us to go on the path. When you hear the bell, you come back here for the ceremony.